because we have so much to bring forth to you. But before we do, there is someone who approaches who wants to speak to you. And I tremble on the inside as he comes because there is so much love pouring forth. And this love is just overtaking me. And I hope that as you hear my voice, that you can feel some of this energy. And that's what I am asking you to do, to open your heart and tune into this energy. And what he is doing is he is showing me his sword. This is a silver sword. It has a hilt that is quite fancy, as there are some stones in it. There is a round circle, and in the middle of that is a blue stone, and underneath of that is a diamond. And he is saying, my beloved, I am here to speak to you because I love you. Many of you who hear my voice came with me when we started. This was a glorious plan for this planet. We had so much to offer. We were in such joy that this new experiment would go forth. But in that joy, there were problems that occurred that we didn't expect. And so you have all gone to sleep, in a sense, and it is time to wake up. And I am here because I promised each and every one of you I would be here to wake you up. And that's what I am about now, and I extend my hand to you. You have been faithful to me, and I have been faithful to you. And so I extend to you an invitation that if you are able to join the cruise that we are setting up for next March, we are taking the time to come and personally invite each and every one of you. I don't have to go over the itinerary. It's there on the website for all of you to see. But I come today, and behind me is your mother. You know her by many names. She has been known as Isis. She has been known as Sophia. The list is long. There is Kuan Yin. Oh, she has come under so many guises. But she will be with me. She is an energy person. She's going to be working with your souls. And also as her companion, our lovely lady. Mary Magdalene has agreed to come with her also, along with her angels. And as we go through our meetings, they will be working on the physical. They are going to be clearing the physical of past life traumas if you will just come with an open heart. I can say no more than that. I can only invite you. I will come back at other times and give you more information. This is the first thing I wanted to tell you, that my heart is open to you and there is an invitation. And so for now, I say peace and blessing. Tomorrow will be such a glorious day. Tomorrow is your day. Tomorrow is our day. And I say to you, no matter that there are dark clouds gathering on the horizon, tomorrow will be the day of the light. It will glow. Oh, I can't tell you what is on the other side of that doorway. It is so beautiful. And so I say, if you can, just open your heart. We have so much to offer. peace until we come again tomorrow to talk to you. And so, with that, my friends, I hope you were able to feel his energies, to understand somewhat his love. And I'll say no more about that. He can speak for himself. We are just here as the tool, so to speak, the empty page. We're the empty page that our dear beloved archangel will write upon, and we can bring it forth for you to read. And so that we're kind of in a melancholy mood right now. And instead of going right into the record, I want to read something that was given to me when I was awakened one morning. And I'm going to let you decide who this is from. There is a part of me that is in you, and that is why I love you so. That is all you need to know, unless, as my progeny, you will inherit all that I am. I will lead you through all the illusions and trials. You are mine and I am yours. I am like an ocean and you the drops. Even though the drops are but a small part, are they not part of the ocean? The time is coming when you will understand the hologram that you are. It is but a reflection of me. Each particle of you struggles to understand me, but understand that it is I speaking to you. It is really a paradox. You are encased in that small drop, and the picture you see is small indeed, but I am in you, and you are in me. Trying to understand that paradox is the journey of all my beloveds. I am with you always. The journey never stops. Someday you will understand. That is self-realization. I long when all my droplets understand the ocean. It is when you finally come home. Home is in the heart. Home is when you finally understand, yet you came from me and just journey in a very large circle. Yes, there will be plates that will break up and fall into the sea. You have come to an age, though, when you can go within and understand and change your future path. You have grown that much and you have come that far. And whether the leader, whether it is my son, the one you understand is Pope Paul, or my son, Archangel Michael, leads, whether it is any of my sons that leads, I lead also through them. You can join others who will mirror the thoughts of healing and peace, and all together you can change what is a possibility. And so, this isn't quite the end of the message, but I want to stop here because you can decide who is speaking to you through these words. I feel that I know who is speaking to you. And what I would like to add to that is we all made a commitment when we came to this planet. But times have changed, and we can change those commitments if we wish. And so it is with that thought that I want to end this part of the message is, first of all, go within. Find out, if you can, just what your path is. And if you wish to change that, understand that you have the right and the ability to change that now. If you wish to transition now, you can. If you wish to go to the new galaxy with Archangel Michael, you can. If you wish to stay to the end of the earth changes, you can. If you wish to ascend, you can. And so I'm just going to repeat now what they are all repeating to each one of us. Go within. Seek what is there. And I will just end with the last paragraph. It is for this very reason that we give this information. Your future can be changed. Just as your past can be changed. You never left me. So, my friends, there's a lot on the plate today, so to speak. And what we're going to do with this part of the show, if you choose, you can call in and ask some questions that we can go to your records and see what we can find to help you with this. I wanted to give a little explanation of who holds this particular set of records, because all along the way we have different stops, so to speak, where information is registered and collected. And in our present life, when we're living today, the very first stop is in our energy field. The actions are there, and they tell me that when we transition, that part of the history then goes to a part of the earth records that holds the individual lives here. But there are many stops, and we'll talk about those. And what we're going to talk about now is a band of angels that hold the universal records and what their relationship is to Prime Creator. And when we talk about Prime Creator, we are talking about the source and the center of the cosmos. And this came from a reading, and it is when we actually went to the angels who surround Prime Creator to obtain a book of records. And it went this way. We approached the angels, who seemed to be female, though you know that there is no sexual preference in this angel band, as they are androgynous. However, even though they are integrated on the inside, this particular group use the female appearance as they identify with the mother, and it is this band that nurture souls, and therefore it is their privilege to hold these records, and they react to this duty as one who would enter into a relationship between a child and a mother. And so my sight of this band of angels, they were very tall, graceful. As I saw them, they have white robes. As I said, they're very large, they're graceful, they're loving, and they do have the appearance of the female, almost what we might think of here as a goddess image. Now, it goes on further to talk about Prime Creator, and what they are saying is that, now they're talking energetically, that Prime Creator energetically has is a masculine center, which is surrounded by a feminine attribute. And then there is another band of angels that surrounds them, and it is joined and balanced, and this band is neither male nor female. And so the next band is another band of angels, that the very edge of that band holds these records. And so I went in to ask a question to have this explained. And so what the explanation was is that the Prime Creator in the center has a masculine energy, and next to that masculine energy is the feminine energy that we would consider Sophia. And so Prime Creator and Sophia had to unify with one another before there could be creation. And so that band that is next to Prime Creator and Sophia, that I said is neither masculine nor feminine, this would be the seraphim realm. And of course, next to the seraphim would be this other band, was the cherubim. The upper level of the cherubim angels work with vibration, and they take vibration from source. They move it out through all of the cosmos, It comes back to source with all of the information that is imprinted on this level. The cherubim see this. They turn the information over to source. And so they are working with the energetics of vibration. And below that band of cherubim is the cherubim group that holds these universal records. So I wanted you to understand how that was working, because, you know, people ask these questions, and I thought it was a very beautiful explanation of how that works. What I'm going over today is basically things that I have received from people, questions that I have gotten. And a lot of people, this is just one little piece of a reading from how someone would call in a soulmate. And this seems to be something that a lot of people are interested in. You know, I'm lonely, haven't met the one that I feel really comfortable with. Did I make a contract with somebody who's going to come and share my love with me? And if it is, how do I bring them into my area? How do I call this person to me? And so in this particular case, this individual really did make a contract with someone who promised to be there with this individual, that they were a high spiritual soul. And what they said was that this soul is highly spiritual, but he must feel your essence in the vast open spaces of the universe. He searches the universe, but he doesn't connect to you, as you do not send out your very special energetic being. If you did, he would recognize that. He would recognize you, and he would come forth. And I kind of thought that was interesting, because you sit there waiting, or I hear that people sit there waiting, and so what this is saying is we must really send forth that invitation. And so one of the things that they suggested, view yourself in a mirror and see how one would feel like if they were with you. Interesting thought, right? In other words, how would your lover feel if he were with you? And so you project that joy, that love, that excitement. And then you put the divine white light of love around you, as this is the language of love and of God, and then send it forth. And I was kind of intrigued by this. See it as a postcard that is being sent on the ethers, something like email. And as you do, place upon it the energy of attraction, a drawing card, something that cannot be overlooked. And then picture in your mind's eye what that person would look like if he was your special lover. There is one who is a special lover, and he will come and love you if you send out the signal. You are like a homing signal, just like a radio station or a television station. However, your signal does not leave you. You do not place the call, and he does not feel it. Allow him to feel it. Take the cover off your light and allow it to go forth and attract the one that waits for you. So, ladies, when you're home baking your cookies, you just might think of some of these thoughts. And for the men, why, they want to read and hear your signal also. I like this. And I hope that you can find something from this that that will add to your encouragement. Now, I have to say, there's other methods. in the records. But I wanted to send this one first of all. We're going to come back and talk about attracting soulmates another time, but I thought I'd just give you this and let you practice on it a little bit. And there's another thing I want to touch on, and what this is a little reading about why you are so special. And you know, sometimes we forget just how special we are. And what this reading was saying is that, of course, there was a time when you, and they're talking, the cherubim are saying this, and even we did not exist. We were all just in the mind of the Creator, that one that we call Source. Source was alone and searched the void. And so here, Source is sitting in the center. And Source looks out. All Source sees is the void. And Source saw a vast amount of possibilities. And in those possibilities, he saw that he could send particles of himself and send them forth to experience all the possibilities. This is what you are. You're those little particles that Source sent forth to experience all of the possibilities. You know, that's an incredible thought, that this Source who's sitting in the center of the cosmos brought us forth and sent us to understand and live love, because that is what Source was. And so it goes on further to say that before you were even brought forth, Source thought of you. You know, there's all these people in the world, and yet Source thought of us as an individualized soul. We weren't one of the group. Source thought of us. Nothing was haphazard. And so what we're finding is that even before we were called forth, Source was putting together plans for us. Source knew exactly what our makeup was going to be, what kind of desires were going to be implanted into our soul. And so Source took a very long time to plan all this. And he sent forth us forth on an edict. And this is why we are so dear to Source, because he had our mission all envisioned. He had in mind who we were. And I just want to read this sentence because I just think this is so beautiful. We can, now this is cherubim speaking, we can see how all of creation was very special to Source, from the birthing of the nursery of stars and even before that, when the elements had to be brought together, even before these star nurseries could be called forth to exist in the vast reaches of the unknown. And so we tell you this because all of life is so special. It is special because it is loved, and you are special because you are loved. Therefore, we say to you, who is one of many, yes, but the many are all individualized in the mind of God. All are loved, and all are precious. And so sometimes, if you ever feel discouraged, because some days, it just feels like nothing is going right. Nothing is going your way. I hope you'll just think about this, that even before the nursery of the stars were created, even before the hydrogen and all of the elements that were brought together to create the nursery of the stars, that God knew you. God had plans for you. God knew you even before he called you. So I just say, as you go about your daily journey, just understand how special and loved you are. And so with that, we're going to take a little break so I can have a drink of water. And if you choose to call back to maybe get some information about what's in your special book, call back. And so we'll just go into a break right now. All right. This is Carolyn Evers, all refreshed and bushy-tailed. And all I can say is, if you want to talk, our number is 1-877. This is toll-free from the States, 876-5227. And if you're calling from Canada, it is 530-876-3222. And so I think we have perhaps have a caller on board.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Sandy.
How are you?
I'm just great.
Good.
And you?
I'm good.
You're good to go, huh?
did
you write that little information about
okay.
calling in your soulmate?
Oh, I'm not worried about my soulmate.
No, well, even if you're not worried about your soulmate,
my
you could just
is
like
the process. My husband is as close as I've ever gotten.
What?
My husband is as close as I've ever gotten.
Well, then that's...
Of all the guys I've had in my life, he's been the best.
Isn't that
well,
beautiful
be
that you're married to him? But I want to tell you, there's so many gods and goddesses out there that just aren't as lucky as you.
Well, I went through it.
I went through
hell to get to this.
What is that they say? Something like you've got... What is it? You got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find the prince.
I don't know, but it was a lot of work. I mean, I gave up when I ran into him. I just didn't even care anymore. So... That's how
oh,
it
my
happens.
Goodness. Well, apparently your question isn't about soulmates. So what's your question, Sandy?
Mine is more like, what is my purpose here?
I would say that question is one of the most asked questions that I get. That question, people wanting to know their soulmate. People wanting to know if they're following their path, and
exactly, I want to know that. Am I following my path?
Uh huh.
And what the heck is it?
Well, you know, as I always say, Sandy, when we came on this trip, you know, we packed the bags, but nobody gave us a map.
I keep asking, but I don't know. I'm just not listening.
Well, I find that I didn't get a map, nor did I get a manual of instructions.
Me neither.
I think that's what the big problem is, you know? We came into this land with nothing. What can I say? Okay, Sandy, we're going to see what we can find for you. And I have to settle down a little because, you know, we engaged in laughter and having some fun, and that's very beta oriented, and I've got to go into the alpha to get to this, so
mm-hmm.
just bear with me.
I can.
Right now, we're approaching this cherubimic layer that we were talking about earlier. And they already have your book waiting. Oh, they are so accommodating. They're so accommodating. I've got to stop all this laughing and figure out what we got here. They're so beautiful. I'm just so in love with them, and that's why I talk about them, so people know just how beautiful that they are, and they have made this commitment to work with humanity. This is part of their mission also, and they learn and grow from this too. You know, love is never... When we give love, it always comes back. And so they're lovingly holding your book. And emotionally, I have to say, I'm affected by these things. When I see something special, energetically, it just fills me with this response of love. And sometimes I feel so overwhelmed by it, and that is the effect that your book is having upon me. You have been a very devout follower of the light for a very long time. You've worked very hard, and your book is brilliant. It is so brilliant and filled with love, and this energy is just spilling out of the sides in white light. And as I said, when you get close to this, it is just an overwhelming feeling, because you've done well, lady.
Well, that's good, because you never know. You always hope.
Well, you did. And what I am seeing on that book is a brown cover. And what brown means is that you were created on the pink ray of love. And if I might just digress for a moment, when Source decided that there would be life in the cosmos, there was a group that went out first that divided the dimensions. Then there was another group that went forth that took those different dimensions and divided them into sub-levels, and everybody had a different color book. This is what I was talking about earlier, is that everything was planned ahead of time. And so the cosmos was divided into dimensions. The different dimensions then were divided into subsections. And there was another little group that went out then that had to do with incorporating life into the different galaxies, and, well, the universes first and then down into the galaxies. And then Source sent out this group that had the brown covers. You were one of those who had the brown covers, and what your job was to go forth and experience, to understand every facet of love that one could experience. And then as you transitioned through all these past lifetimes, every one of these experiences went up through the different dimensions until all of your experiences ultimately find their way into this book. Now, the interesting thing about that is all of these lifetimes where you have done so well, they have all been turned over to Source. So Source sees your records. And that is what is so beautiful, that you have such a beautiful and perfect record. It's one of the few groups that have stuck so closely to that original urge that was planted in your heart to love. And so that has been your path through the past. Sometimes during great epochs of history, where there was a great deal of turmoil that was going on, you were the leader in some groups that tried to bring peace into the world. Many times you lost your life in doing this. You were always an ambassador of peace, though you were willing to pick up arms and actually go into the fray, so to speak. You were willing to fight for those ideals. You were a protector, and you loved those that you protected. So there were times when you found yourself as a knight sitting on the horse with a sword and actually protecting your people. There were other times when you worked your way up through the court of great kingships, working to bring peace and safety for the people in the king's territory, so to speak. And so you have had some very great auspicious lives in your past. You have seen all the different aspects of love. You've been the warrior, the protector, the interpreter. You have played all these roles. And so you've come full circle. And now what I see in the choices that you made before this incarnation is that you were to perfect yourself in the, shall I say, the daily living. You've seen the glory, so to speak, and now is the time to perfect those little deeds of love among your family and friends. And so you might say you're at this point now where you are polishing your soul, so to speak. You've seen the height and the glory, and now it is those intimate moments of love that you share among all of those that you know, that surround you, that is in your circle of friends, whether it is a spouse, whether it is, you know, a neighbor. As I see, this is what you brought into this life that we call the middle road. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't decide that you will take a higher road than that, because the soul, in its commitment before it comes, chooses what they call the middle road. That is where you are now, fulfilling your commitment. You're in the middle road.
But so I'm on my path?
You're on your path. I'm telling you, this is what your path was. However, we are also saying that you have the choice to step up the notch if you so choose. And what they are suggesting to you, do you meditate?
Meditate, what do you mean?
Well, if you
got meditate. Oh, yeah. I don't do that too often, but I do.
Okay. What they are suggesting is rev that up a little bit.
Oh, they're right.
Okay. Meditate a little more, because you see, meditating can sound so boring to people if you're not doing it. But what they are encouraging you to do is to connect to your higher mind right now. The higher mind is, there's a doorway behind that to your soul star, to your monad. And your monad is filtering down great light to you. Do you feel a pull to perfect yourself, to do more than what you're doing?
Yeah, that's true.
This is what it is. This is the call. Your monad is pouring down this white light into your soul. And if you did nothing else, you would still fulfill your middle road. But what they are saying is you have the potential to do more if you so choose. And so the answer here is you must meditate if you choose. In other words, if you choose to go higher than where you are right now, then they are suggesting to take the challenge, meditate more, connect with your higher mind. Your higher mind will suggest to you which path to take, because you see, it is that overriding part of your higher soul star that brings into your dimension activities and people. In other words, they will connect you to individuals and to events that will help you fulfill that higher inspiration.
Oh, you know, you answered exactly what I needed to know. That's what I needed to know.
I know. Well,
how funny.
Be joyful.
Without really asking, you just really hit it.
That's what it is, my dear. You are, I would suspect that you are feeling this energy of the light pouring down on you. You're being called. It would feel like an attraction, like an urge, like there is something else that perhaps you might find around the corner, so to speak. Is that how you feel sometimes?
Yes, yes. It's like I've gone all these different directions. Where do I go?
My dear, you go within. You go within. It is so simple.
Yeah, that is. I think I can handle that.
You don't have to go anywhere.
It's easier than handling people sometimes.
Go within. The voice of your soul is calling you.
I
and
believe
they are
that.
Saying, beloved Sandy, wake up to me.
I believe that too.
That's what they're saying.
And I'll tell them thank you.
You're welcome, and you give that special someone an extra hug tonight.
I sure will. Thank you so much,
right.
Carolyn.
My pleasure. Goodbye. Well, I was glad to find out that we could get some answers for Sandy, and apparently they ran true for her, or at least felt true, or, you know, she felt comfortable with that. And actually, I do hear this a lot with people. It seems like all of us need to do a little bit more meditating. Because it is through meditating that we can make, number one, make the connections with our own higher mind, make connections with the spiritual hierarchy. When you start doing these things, you start getting a sense of where you need to be and what you need to do. And this seems to be a question that so many people are questioning right now. And it's you know, for complicated as it seems. Yes.
Yes.
This is
Jim. I had a question.
Who's this?
This is Jim Baumgartner.
Oh, Jim! I thought I recognized that dear voice. Oh, Jim, just such a delight talking to you. What's your question?
The question is there something preventing or delaying my communication with the higher realms?
Well, that's a straightforward question. Now, I make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. You feel that there is a block to you to connect with the higher realms? Is that your question?
I feel like I am pretty much making up things when I think I am communicating with higher beings
of
light.
I haven't even opened your records yet, dear, but I will tell you this. We all feel that right before we have a breakthrough. I can tell you that from my own personal experience and other people's personal experience. I will open your records. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just adding this little piece to it. I know the feeling. You're getting these little taps on your shoulder, and you look over your shoulder, and you think, oh, who's there? And you're not sure you felt it or saw anyone. Is that how it kind of is?
Well, it's like I don't have a lot of detail, and it could be that that's my own imagination instead of beings of light communicating with me.
Yeah. Jim, that's another question that so many people are in a fog about. And part of the reason is that there is so much negative energy on this plane that you have to cut through. And it seems like you're not getting a clear connection. But give me a minute. Let me go to the source of all of this information and see what we can get for you, okay? Just hang out there for a minute with us. What I'm getting, my first impression, Jim, is the seriousness of your mission. This is not a light, fun kind of energetic thing, but you've taken a, I don't want to say a heavy load or heavy burden. You've taken a big piece of responsibility with what you're doing. And I think you really know that, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. And so you are with us to bring forth healing on this level, which, you know, we know that. And in that healing, you're healing the people here, and you're also healing all of your connections that you have from those who sent you for this healing. And so part of the situation is that this seems like a strange place to you, and the vibrations here are confusing to say the least, and there is a lot of darkness here, and it is very difficult for you to take your energy and move it up beyond these dark energetic fields here. Now, when you meditate, and I know that you meditate, do you feel like you are sending your energy high up past the earth and the energetic fields around the earth? Do you feel like you're doing that?
I think I am, but it's more shasta light going through me to the center
it's
of the earth.
Wait,
where
I didn't hear you, dear. It's more like what? You said you think you do, but what was the rest of that? I didn't hear you.
I feel it. I visualize a shaft of light going through me down to the center of the earth.
Right.
But where it originates, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I have not considered that aspect.
Okay. Now, how high up do you visualize your essence going? Or do you do this at all?
I don't visualize my essence going up. No, I don't.
Okay. Just for a test, because I really think you need to be doing this, there's nothing wrong with balancing yourself from the core of the earth. That's good, because there is the crystal Merkaba there. But I think you need to just try this in some of your meditations. Try sending your essence over the other side of the etheric band surrounding Earth. I think you need to get beyond that. This energy here is feeling very discordant to you. And the only way you're going to get out of that feeling of discord and disharmony is to send a part of your essence beyond that. You need to be up in the upper fields and freeing yourself of that. And it's because this connection hasn't been made consciously yet. What I see here is if you can send your essence straight up and connect with your source that you're working with, you will find that once that connection is made, you're going to hear and perhaps even see a lot better. Does that make sense?
That sounds terrific. I can't wait.
What I'd like for you to do, Jim, practice that for a while. And if you're still having problems with that, I want you to send me an email. Think you could do that?
I think so.
If you're not successful on that, because I want you to be successful, because they're really reaching out to you. And you have a lot to accomplish. And what you are about to accomplish will be much easier for you if you do make that connection and cement that connection between the two of you. That makes sense?
Yes, yes it does. Thank you very much, Carolyn. Bless you.
Oh, Jim, bless you too. You're a big particle of love in my heart. Talk to you later. Don't forget, send me email if you're having trouble with that.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Now, you know what is so beautiful about being on this planet and meeting people is the diversity of everything and everybody. And it is so sad that so many people only want to have relationships with individuals who are just like them. And when you meet people who are a little different, who have different habits, who maybe come from different countries, who have different skills, who just think differently, you learn so much from this. And so what I would like to just do is throw out a little thought to you, if you would. And what that thought would be is seek out someone that's a little bit different from you. You know, you might be a very serious kind of a person. Well, try on the hat of somebody who really is fancy-free and light-footed. You might really learn something. Or if you're very studious, maybe talk to somebody who is very light in nature. We have so many aspects of ourselves, and we constantly gravitate towards those who are just like us, where all of this diversity, whether it's in our immediate surroundings, our country, other people, there is so much that we can learn from this diversity. So maybe, you know, that's a little thing that you can do besides kiss your loved one, hug the dog. Think of somebody who maybe is just a little different from you that you can meet on some level playing ground and learn something from, because we are all offering little pieces to each other. And so this is the beauty of it. You know, you meet somebody and you go about your daily business, and they come back in your life at some future time. And it's just wonderful to touch base with all these beautiful souls. So we don't have another individual on the phone right now. Kind of coming up to a little break. I tell you, my throat gets dry, needs a little bit of water now and then. And I don't sense that there's some other phone call coming. So how about if we do this, dear heart? We just take a little break. And as we take a break, I've got plenty of information to give you. But as we take our break, if you think of a question, something that you want to come back with, just remember the number 1-877-876-5227. And if you're out of the country, Canada, so forth, the number is 530-876-3222. We're going to be with you back on the other side of the hour. And so give your questions some thought, and we'll see what we can do to help you. And for now, like I said, just going to take a little coffee break here, and we'll catch up with you soon. All right, this is Carolyn Evers again, and just delighted to be back chatting away with you. And we got a little bit into, Source and how he sent out the souls, and actually how he created the souls and how special you are. What I'd like to do right now is just talk a little bit about where the different records are located, because this is kind of interesting. When I went in and asked about where the different records are, they started with Earth, since I reside here. They started talking about how the Earth records were located here. And so we talked earlier that while we are living, that our records are being generated by us, and they're being collected in our emotional body. And then when we transition, that they become part of the earth records in a location that's relatively near the planet. And the records that we hold internally while we are living and the records when we transition, they hold all of the emotions. And so the emotional body that we have is very important in gathering experience here. Well, if you stop and think about it, you know, you meet somebody, you're working with someone, you get along with them real well, or maybe you don't get along with them, and so that the emotions are bringing forth some of the challenges. Or you meet somebody, and oh my golly, you just work along so well together, and you do so much together, and it's just so easy. And so you can think of just about every relationship that you have. It is a part of our emotional makeup that brings the challenges or the peace or the sublime growth from our interaction with one another. And so that basically is our personal records as we live and right after we pass over. Then we're told that there is a set of records for the solar system. Now, they're talking about the Earth now, but the other solar systems have their own set of records. And so there is an energy band that circles around the planet, and from this energy band, well, first of all, there's an energy band around Earth, and they're describing this as strings of energy that goes from the Earth and connects to the other records that are held within this particular solar system. So in this solar system, we have a group of records that is strictly events. There is a long string of events, but there is no emotional records there. It's depositing experiences. And there's no recording of what would be considered success or failure either. It is just intent. Now, on other layers of records, the intent is important, but also whether there was success or failure, because different leaders are changed based upon what they actually accomplish. So for the records of the Earth, and they are open to those forces that are working for creation, they have the right to read these records. And so when we have creator gods, or we have groups that are interested for whatever reason of reading records, maybe working on new galaxies or so forth, and they are interested in learning about a solar system where we have planets like this that is in a denser dimension, they're able to read those records, but there is no emotion behind it. Then there is another place of records that holds the records for our galaxy. And in this band of records, where we're talking about the galactic information, here they're recording the intent of the creator, of the creators who created this galaxy. But along with the intent, the results of those intents as it related to experiments. So in other words, different experiments were set up within a galaxy, and those who read the records can see what the intent was, and then they can see what the results of those intents were. In other words, whether they appeared a success, be worked out as they thought the plan would work out, or whether it fell short. And so they're looking at success or failure. And they talk about the records that they're contained in a band of magnetic energy. And so those particular records in the galaxy are for people to review and study so that they could possibly refrain from what might be considered a mistake. So basically, you might look at it like a library. You know, if there were some experiments that have failed, souls can go and see these galactic records, because having the knowledge of what was successful in this area of the galaxy and what wasn't successful would be like the results of experience, and it would help to understand the intent, the desire, and the result upon the denser molecules of solids and gases. Now, they're talking about the records for this galaxy. Each galaxy has its own, but in this particular galaxy, what it is saying is that there is the history here of denser molecules of solids and gases. Now, the next layer of records is what they are called the galactic command. So we have records for the galaxy, but then there seems to be another deposit where the galactic command have a set of records. And these are the records and interaction among all the different cultures, so to speak, and inhabitants of all of the planets in this galaxy. So in essence, you might think of this more as the experiences among the people and not so much the results of the history of the creation there. And I kind of thought this was interesting. What they said was, this is a very busy place, as what is recorded here are the results of every emotion that connects to the force of love and its results. Also, what is recorded is the forces of control and domination, what one might consider the dark forces. And so on this level of records, we have both results, the light and the dark, so to speak, is here. So that the results of all of these interchanges between these two forces have been recorded, along with the movement of all the planets in this galaxy. And so each galaxy has a set of its own records that would reflect all that happened in this galaxy. So we kind of are breaking this down into different pieces, because the next step is the records of all the galactic commands. So the first one that we read was the galactic command for this particular galaxy, but then there is a central recording. And this central recording of records is the records of all the galactic commands. And the way this is described is there's another set of records, and those records you might consider a result of all the reports that all of the commanders of all the galaxies have deposited as they have ruled over the operations of galactic control. These commanders have changed over the eons of creation, though their records have remained, even as they have been promoted or demoted, as the case might be. Yes, there is a surging forth and a retreat, depending on intent, and in this case, result. Now, this is kind of interesting, because on this level, where we are, on the earth, intent is more important than results. In other words, it is, and this is something interesting to think about. If our intent is pure, so to speak, you know, we make mistakes. We might not have intended to make a mistake. And so here on this level, intent is much more important than results, and it's a good thing to know, because many times we fall short of what we hope to become. But here, where the records of all the galactic commands are, what they are telling us is it is the result that counts, because there, if the intent might be, what they had hoped to accomplish, but if they did not accomplish what they had intended, that these leaders of the different galactic commands will be replaced. If they produce what they had intended and the result was good, they're going to be promoted. And it says here, it's repeating what I had just discussed. For the most part, souls are judged upon their intent and not the results, as they cannot be evaluated on how other souls might interact with them and frustrate their mission. And that is why intent is so important and not results here, because we are working with other souls, and other souls have free will, and they're interacting with us, and they have the ability sometimes to frustrate our mission, what our intent was, and so we can't be burdened, or that can't be like a mark placed against us, because we went out, we tried to do the good thing, or what we thought was the good thing, what our intent was, and yet these other forces working against us frustrated our mission, and so we cannot be considered as failing in this result. That, I kind of want to bring forth that thought. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Maria.
Oh, Maria, my dear Maria.
Hello. I just want to know if I'm on target.
What did you want? I'm having trouble hearing you, dear. Speak into the phone. Tell me your question again.
Yes. I want to know if I am on target or I'm behind or what.
You want to know if you're, you know, this seems to be the universal question, Maria. Are you on target? Are you doing the right thing? I'm gonna go and read your records, but let me ask you something, Maria. I really think you do meditate, don't you? Marie?
Yes.
You meditate, don't you?
Yeah, but my meditation is kind of active, because I have not a lot of time where I can be not moving and by myself.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of time where I'm doing things by myself and I can meditate.
I will tell you, dear heart, if you ask that question during meditation, you'd find your own answer, because you are a beautiful soul. However, I'm going to go to the records and see if I can find some answers from the records. But, uh-oh, are you there?
Yes.
I had a terrible bolt of lightning and thunder right here. I wasn't sure if our connection was destroyed. And I will tell you, if this happens again, I'm going to have to end my part of it, because that lightning, I felt it through the phone.
Oh, it's thunder. Yeah, it's raining here. And it's thundering, and I'm away from the window now.
Don, can you
Hello?
Hear me, Don?
Yes, I'm here.
If I get more lightning like this, I'm going to have to stop.
I understand completely. Yes, and I'm talking.
I felt that through the phone.
Okay, I understand completely.
And I'm gonna try and work with Maria, but if I get more lightning, we're gonna disconnect, okay?
You got it.
Okay, dear.
Okay, you bet.
Okay, Maria. Now, what I'm saying to you, dear heart, is you are a beautiful soul. You are trying to live perfectly, and I know that. And I'm gonna try and get an answer for you. But I know in my heart you can find this answer yourself if you meditate. So meditate a little more, because you are a beautiful soul. A lot has been expected of you, and I know that you ask this question because you want to step forth and answer that call, don't you, dear?
Yes, I do.
I know. And you have this beautiful intent, And it is. You have such a desire to serve, and it is so beautiful. And that is why I am saying, do meditate a little more. Do get this connection yourself, because you will hear your soul star conversing with you, telling you that you are on target. But let us go and see what we can find out for you. Now, give me a minute so that I can relax a little, okay?
Yes.
There's a lot of blue light around your records, Maria.
Blue. What's that mean?
Blue. Can you hear me?
Yes. A
lot of blue light. There's a lot of white light, but there's a lot of blue mixed in that light. And
yeah,
there's
I'm very attracted to the
yellow.
Color blue. I'm always wearing blue all the time. Yeah.
Well, there's white light, there's a lot of blue, and there are some tinges of yellow. And that yellow is the wisdom. You have great wisdom in your heart. Great wisdom. You've been through a lot of paths, and you have done a lot of work for the goddess and the goddess energy. I see you standing as a goddess with the cup in her hand. You've held the energy. You have held the energy of the goddess in that cup through many of your lifetimes. Do you feel that?
Yeah. I have some memories where I am, I don't know if it's some kind of a priestess, but I'm offering things to above. And
oh, yes, you've done that
down,
so many times.
And
you have acted as the goddess between the earth and the higher realms.
Yeah.
And that's imprinted on your soul. It's what you have done through so many of your lifetimes. You have portrayed that part. You are
yeah.
the goddess here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have gathered that energy from the earth as the earth mother, and you have sent it to the higher realms, connecting the two. Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Because it's a deep thing within your heart. It's part of your makeup.
Yes, and I'm trying to heal the mother now. I send a lot of everything that I have to to heal her, but I don't always know if it's working.
What I would suggest that you do.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever have feelings or visions of offering that goddess energy up above? Do you ever feel that?
Yeah, there's a symbol with me. It's sandalwood.
It's what's the symbol?
Sandalwood. I always have this sandalwood incense.
Uh-huh.
And I have memory. Always of offering this. It's almost like the sandalwood is my signature to tell it's me. You know? And
when you have that connection to the upper realm and you see yourself as the goddess, what you do is you bring that energy down through your body to the core of the earth.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that is what I'm doing.
Good, because what you are doing is you are bringing down great healing to the planet.
Okay, so I am, yeah. That's what I thought I'm working on, but I wasn't entirely sure.
Darling,
because
this is what
a lot of my stuff is very subtle, you know?
It's very subtle, and that's why I'm saying to make it more realistic in your mind and in your heart. When you have that vision of sending that energy to the upper realms as the goddess, you bring that after it goes to the upper realms, you bring that down again through your body into the core of the earth, because what you're doing is you are melding the white light with your blue light, and that goes down to the earth to transform it. You're healing along many aspects, and you're helping the light from the higher levels to move down into the core. Do you understand that?
Yeah. In my mind, how I always picture that is, I think of it as the energy of one.
Uh-huh. That's a good way to picture it.
It's making everything one, so everything is running through everything.
Well, this is what you're doing. You're allowing the higher energies to kiss the earth, to be reunited again. These energies have been disrupted, and you, as the goddess of the past, has come back again to help reunite the heavens and the earth through your symbol of oneness. And it is so beautiful. Marie, don't ever doubt that you are not doing what was intended for you to do.
Okay. Thanks.
You are just beautiful, dear one, and precious.
So are you.
Namaste,
you?
Dear one. Namaste.
The family is beautiful.
Yes.
Yes.
Keep in touch, dear heart.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Have a wonderful time.
Yes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And so, my friends, we were right in the midst when Maria called. We were right in the midst of talking about the records of the Galactic Commands. And I'm trying to figure out where we left off on that one. Their records are there, even though they have been relieved of their command, so to speak, because of what they had attained, or the records always stay there, though the individuals come and go. We talked about how at that level, intent matters, but along with the intent, the results, and the results of how these leaders governed the Galactic Command. So that's a very important level, so to speak. And then the very highest point of the records. Now, you have to understand, this information is passed up through like a chain of command until it gets up to the very highest level, which is the universal records, and that is the final deposit. And it says that others have used different terms to describe these records. And these records have a very grave significance, as this recording is the sum total of all creation in every phase of the in-breath and the out-breath of all of Source's desires, plans, goals, and beings. So this is a very sacred. Not that all the records aren't sacred, but this is extremely sacred because of how close these records are to the source in the center of the cosmos. And we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. This deposit of records is guarded by a very special band. We would call them angels. And the records, the keeper of the record says that they do not see them as angels as such. We talked about this as being the cherubim level, if you recall, but rather a level of source that is and this is the first band of source that interacts with experience. And so source is having an interaction with the experience that all of these souls are bringing back to source. And so this, on this level, it is a blend of the God force and the experimental force of God. And it is a blend of questioning and the study of what has been, what can be, by the way of opportunity and possibility. And so if we think about this for a second, we talked earlier about how source was in the center of the cosmos, or what was is the cosmos now, but what was then in the very beginning, the void. And we talked about how source looked out upon the void. Source saw all these possibilities. Source brought forth the souls to go out and experiment and bring that information back to source. And now we sort of have gone full circle. And what we are saying is that in these records, that source now, as these records are brought back to source, source studies what has been, what can be, by way of opportunity and possibility. So these records, besides containing all the records of each and every soul that has ever been created, hold every possibility and probability and the results of all those lines of endeavor with the interaction of soul activity. So in a sense, you might say it is like these records are like source holding the experience of all creation, and this is how source understands what has happened, every possibility, so to speak, and the interaction of all the different forces. And so what the cherubim are saying is you could say that this is a record of cause, effect, and possibility, and the interaction of the sum total of that force that we call source, because source is actually operating on all of these different levels. And so they are saying it is the gravest of responsibilities to keep these records pure, intact, and uncontaminated. And information has been assigned to this band of energy, but as it comes up through the different levels, it's examined, and it is passed on, and they say they consider this a cord to all possibility. And so it must be of the most pure source of intent and result, and it cannot be changed in any way once it is registered. And so at this level, it becomes a permanent record. There can never be a change once that record finally reaches up to this band. It is immutable, so to speak. They also, I thought this was kind of interesting too, because sometimes you get readings and sometimes they might seem to be different from one another. And I know, I mean, I've heard of this where people read different records and something doesn't seem to match up to another reading that they have had. And there is this insight, which I found interesting. It said, no record is ever wrong, but new information in experimentation could shed a different viewpoint of a record. And that's kind of interesting, because it's like if you're studying something, you learn a little bit, and maybe what you learned was accurate, and you had a certain point of view about what you learned, and then you pick up another fact, that fact is not wrong. But once you put the two facts together, your interpretation becomes a little bit different. And that is what they're saying as to reasons why somebody might hear something different from one set of records to another, is because the interpretation might be shaded in a slightly different light as new experiences are placed upon the first layer. So as you have layer and layer of experience that is being accumulated, the first layer wasn't wrong, the second layer wasn't wrong, the third layer wasn't wrong, but then you're putting all these together and you come to different conclusions. So I kind of thought that that was an interesting concept about the layers of experience building. And so what they're saying is, and they're very clear about this, if one reads lower records, there could be a different assessment made as the information is being gathered, and then as you have another round of information placed upon that first round, it might seem different. And so they are saying that the universal records are final in the sense that every possible round of experience has been played out, so that the recording angel who places the final record in the book of experiences understands all the possibilities and the lines of evolution that has produced the final result. So that's kind of interesting. I like how the cherubim are telling us how these different records are accumulated, how they evolve, and eventually how they get to the final place of resting, so to say. The recording angel that places the information in the record is not the source that interacts with these records, but rather a band twice removed from the source. What we are calling the recording angel is not the source itself, but closely related to the source. And again, this is what they are referring to as the cherubim. This is there on this level of records. It is their responsibility for this. There's more, but I think perhaps we have discussed enough about the different levels of records and how they work. We have some time here if someone else wants to call in with a question or a comment. We're coming up on the last half hour, and we're not going to have a lot of opportunity. So if you have a question or a comment, now would be a good time to call in, because I don't want somebody to hold back and then when we're ready to go off the air hope to get on. Something that I have been very fascinated with as I have read different records for people is the colors. And we said this earlier, one of the last group of souls that were sent forth were those who were created on the pink ray of love. And before they were sent out, there were different souls who worked on the different sub-layers in between the dimensions. And I'm going to talk about some of the different colors, because I just found that so... Yes?
Hello, good afternoon. I'm calling with a question.
Of course. And your name?
My name is Shruti.
Susie?
Shruti.
Shruti.
Yes.
Hi, Shruti. Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Where?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't... Shruti just reminds me of
a little German lass. I wasn't sure if we had a German lass on the other end of the phone. So something close to home like Chicago.
No, originally I was born in India, actually.
Oh, you were born in India. How exciting.
Yes.
Have you been in this country very long?
About 20 years, over 20 years.
Oh, 20 years. This is kind of like home to you now, isn't it?
Yes, actually more than home.
Yes. Trudy, what question do you have, dear?
Okay. Basically, what do I need to accomplish?
Oh, this is one of the questions that we get from so many people. We're here. You know, like I've told you, they don't send a little manual with us. We don't have a book of directions. It's like we're on this guessing game. We're walking around in the dark, and we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay. I'll try this, try that. It'd be easier if you knew.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes. And then the interesting thing about that, Trudy, is all of a sudden it like dawns on you, and you got it. And that's when it really gets exciting.
That's true.
Trudy, before I go to your records and see if we can get some information on this, I'm just wondering, what are your favorite hobbies?
Favorite hobbies are mainly reading.
You like to read?
Listening here. Listening to music.
And music.
Yes.
Yeah, I sensed that there was something going on here that was exciting. That's why I asked you. Okay, let's see what we can find. Trudy, it takes a little bit of time for me to go from talking with a lot of energy to then trying to relax. It's sort of like turning off a switch. And so give me a moment.
Take your time, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Trudy.
They've received the book, and usually they sit it down so I can look into it. But this time they're not. This cherubim that has your book is holding it close to what I would say over her heart. Yes, it's most unusual. It's because there's a love connection there.
Interesting.
Trudy, do you really want me to say this over the internet?
Sure.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
No problem.
I didn't know if you wanted me, because this is kind of, I guess I could call it private. And I'd be glad to send it to you. I mean, it's nothing bad at all.
Either way, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Oh, it's not me. It's you. If you want to hear it over the phone, I'd be glad to tell you.
Okay.
Okay. They've got this book close to their heart. You are not only a friend. You are one of them. And that is why they weren't putting the book down for me to see. You're one of their group who has come down to Earth.
That's interesting.
And you've been here a long time. And I venture to say that you're tired of it all. You want to go back home.
That
yearning, dear. You want to go home.
Yes.
Yes.
The connection isn't there.
Yeah, you're really tired. You want to go back to what you know is reality. That's the real thing. And I think you know that where you are now is not the real thing, don't you?
Yeah. But
so you're tired of playing this game of charades, huh?
Yes, but there is still a reason that I'm here, so...
here's what I would suggest that you do, Trudy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what my website is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go to the website, read the story about the Templars.
Okay.
Tell you how, it'll tell you how you got here, dear.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely check that out.
It'll tell you how you got here. And all I can say to you, dear, you don't have a long wait for your desire. This big desire that's in your heart, you don't have long to wait for it.
Good.
Read that story. Do you meditate?
Okay. Yes, yes, off and on.
Well, do a little bit more on than off.
Okay.
A little bit more on than off, dear.
Okay.
Read that story, and then I want you to sit down and meditate, because I really do believe you can remember this.
Okay.
I think if you read that story and you meditated more, you'd remember your past. And I will tell you, Trudy, that's a whole lot better than having somebody telling you what it is.
That's true. Experiencing it yourself is definitely...
Yeah, you can do this.
Okay. Thank you.
And if you can't, you send me an email and let me know.
Okay.
I want you to remember this.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure. Okay. We'll do.
Okay,
so thank
dear.
You for your guidance.
Take
and
care.
I'll go to your website right now.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care.
By the way, I'd like to suggest that people go to the website, and that's www.akashic-reading.com. Sign up for the newsletter. We've just set this up recently, and we haven't sent out any newsletters yet, but when we do, we're going to be putting in articles very similar
okay.
to the type. Yeah.
Hello.
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 Yeah. I'm here, dear. Who
is
this?
My name is Ann.
Hi, Ann. Ann, what is your question?
Well, I guess to follow up with Trudy there, same thing sort of here. I was listening intently, and I feel exactly the same way.
What I need for you to do, though, is to explain how you feel so I know your question, because this is what triggers the place for to go to the records.
Okay. I feel like I don't belong here at all, and I felt that way for a long, long time.
Sort of like displaced?
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And things seem foreign to you?
I guess that's one word for it.
What word would you use?
Foreign, it's a good word. I find it very difficult to relate to most people, and I don't want to sound condescending, because
No, it's not condescending. I know how you feel. It's a terrible feeling.
I feel like I'm ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I can empathize on many levels with many people, but I feel like everybody's moving in slow motion.
Yeah. It's almost like being on a very busy street. There's a lot of people around you, and you feel lonely.
Very much. Very much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I just want to get on with it, whatever is supposed
to
happen.
Whatever it is, you want to get on with it.
Yeah.
Get the orchestra to play one last song, huh?
Yeah.
Now, Trudy, I'm going to go open your records. Do you want me to read them on the air?
Yes, and my name is Ann, by the way. I referenced
Trudy
because it was interesting.
And I wrote Ann and I circled it, right. I was thinking of Trudy. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Give me a moment, as long as I have your permission to... you know, to read what we find.
By all means.
Okay, dear. Well, this case, they really are taking the book, and they are opening it in front of me, and there is a lot of joy.
There's a lot of what?
Joy.
Joy?
Oh, yes. A lot of joy on their part because I don't think I have to tell you this, Ann. I really think you know this. You've come from another planet. Do you feel it?
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Do you know which one?
Well, before I say that, let me finish what they're trying to convey to me.
Okay. Sorry.
The joy is that the call that you answered, well, first of all, I have to say you really didn't want to come.
I can believe it.
You came with your heels in the dust. You were scraping them along all the while you were being pulled here. This was not your choice of job description, so to speak.
I can believe that.
And it's because you were from such a higher elevation. You know, looking down here at all this dark stuff, who'd want to jump down in this? You didn't.
Yeah.
But you did. You answered the call, and you came because your love was much greater than... I think there was some fear there. There was a little bit of fear because you weren't sure how things were going to turn out because this isn't the first time you've been here. That's one of the reasons why... you weren't too happy with coming here. You've been here before. And they call you when certain things happen down here that they need you. So they said, bring her on one more time. And you said, oh, I don't know that I want to do this. And they said, well, we really would like for you to go. And you did. And you came down.
But
and
I feel as I have to tell you, I've felt for over half my life that I have a greater calling, and I'm still I still don't know what it is.
Well, see, your greater calling is that you really want to go back home. That's what you're feeling is your greater calling.
But I haven't accomplished, in my opinion, anything here.
That's a sad feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're in a holding pattern right now.
Yeah.
You've been put in place, so to speak, because your job is yet to come. And you are going to be a go-between between two dimensions.
Between what? I'm sorry.
Two dimensions.
Okay.
You're going to be helping souls going over into the next dimension. And so right now you're right here twiddling your thumbs, waiting for the game to start.
Well, I feel it's going to be starting soon.
Yes, it is. Yes, your work's going to start after the dimensions split, and we're not very far from that separating. So they're going to put you to work soon.
But I feel as though I don't know what to do.
Yep, we don't have that manual, do we?
No.
No. Let me see if I can find out something about that. How would you know what to do? You don't have to know.
No?
Nope, you don't have to know. What I'm being shown here is you're the liaison. And I haven't heard this before. Let me run this by and see how this fits on your hat, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Did you have any dreams of people being lifted off this planet?
I have a lot of peculiar dreams, but I cannot say to you that I've had that dream.
I think you're here for a group of your home people. You're the liaison. And I've never thought about this before, but you're the one that's going to gather them up and lift them off. Just, I will tell you, I didn't expect to come up with that answer, Ann.
Wow.
And let me see. You need to connect with them.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of a group, like, standing behind you energetically? Do you feel their energy?
Well, let me tell you something strange here, and then maybe you can explain it
to
me.
Is it more strange than what I just told you?
I do feel an energy, and I will say it's behind me, okay? But
mm-hmm.
it's very, very localized.
What
it's like a little spot.
What do you mean localized? What?
It's there's a strong energy that I get, and it's some intermittent. In other words, it's coming more and more and more and more. I feel like a little. I don't know how to describe it, but I guess energy is the word. It's in my. I mean, it's a physical sensation I get. It's not pain. It's like a little energetic kind
stronger.
Of a buzz.
It's getting stronger, though.
It's getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in my, it's always in the same exact spot, in my back.
Uh-huh.
It's like halfway down my back on the right. And I've looked in mirrors thinking, what the heck is going on back there? And there's nothing to see.
I think they're sending you a little newsletter from home.
But it's a sensation, but it doesn't translate into anything intelligent. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. You don't have to translate it. I think you just need to identify with it. It's going to get stronger. This is like your little homing tone.
To let me know they're there?
A tone. You need to recognize that there's going to come a time when you're going to feel something and hear something that comes with that energy.
Really?
Yeah. So prepare yourself for it. Nothing unusual, nothing strange. Just relax. They're trying to connect with you. That's all it is. These are your friends.
Can't we connect in a more and I hate to use the word human, but in a way that I can.
What would you like, an email?
Well, maybe a little visit, maybe.
Oh, you want a visit?
Yeah.
Well,
I feel as though I need more, and I don't know. Maybe I'm.
How long has this been going on?
My goodness, so many years. But it started out. Not that often,
mm-hmm.
and not that strong,
mm-hmm.
and then it went away for a long time. Pardon me?
It's getting stronger and more frequent.
Yeah.
Well, they're kind of buzzing you a little bit, and if you want to visit from home, all you need to do is tell them. They'll communicate with you in a more human way.
Really?
Yeah. They're not. Even though you're here, they don't have a complete understanding of human emotion. You know, that's not registering to them, and they're kind of like testing the waters. It's getting stronger. They basically want to see how you're going to react to it.
Well, they probably know that I'll still faint, even though I accept it all. I'll still probably pass out from the shock of it. But,
well, you kind of have to get used to this. Used to the feeling, get used to the message, and so I would suggest that what you need to do is, do you meditate?
I try, but it's not probably the most conventional form of meditation.
It doesn't matter whether it's conventional or not. All you're trying to do is connect your mind to their mind. It doesn't have to be conventional. I'm basically suggesting that you go into a relaxed state. Do you have some kind of music that you find very relaxing?
Yes.
A particular piece?
A few pieces. Yeah.
Pick one piece.
Okay, the same piece.
That you particularly like, because what that's going to do, it's going to, like, set your mind so that every time you hear that music, you're going to get ready to relax, and then you try to connect your mind to theirs, and after a while, you're going to start hearing them.
Okay.
I don't really think you want to see them full force. I think what you want to do is mentally connect and start listening to them before you faint on the floor.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? You're right about that. You're right about that. I think that just like a blind date, you never know what they're going to look like. And
that's right. You got a blind date here, honey.
Okay.
Get yourself a glass of wine, sit back and relax, and try to connect mentally first. And come back later and tell me how this goes. I want to hear the second verse, the second chapter of this book.
Really? I will. But can you just, before you go, can you
Ian,
just...
we're down here at the end of time, dear. Got to be quick.
Okay. But thank you. Thank you so very, very much.
My pleasure. Come back again.
I will. I promise.
And
I appreciate all your help.
Go to my website. There's letters there to sign up, read the articles, and if you feel that you're interested in a reading, do that too.
I will.
You can get one there.
Thank you so very much.
My pleasure, Anne.
Take care.
You too.
Okay.
And so we're down to the end. Didn't really get into the colors, but we'll do that next time. And so from my heart to your heart, I bless you all.